Our second reading is Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, or from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you, all are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. It's an interesting thing, some of the historical details that often come up in these narratives as we read them. It says, it's been a long time that the Lord has given rest to his people, and Joshua is waxed old and stricken in age. Not an insult to Joshua. It's simply to let us know that Joshua himself did not think that when he got toward the end of his age, that it was time to relax, that it was time to kick back, that it was time to let the young bucks take it on. Of course, it was indeed time for that next generation to come and to succeed, but as long as Joshua had breath, Joshua was going to take those opportunities afforded him by the Lord to teach I'm reminded of the Psalms where it says, Lord, don't take my breath away yet, not at least until I've shown thy strength to the next generation. And so Joshua stands here as one who lives his life to the end, a faithful minister to the people of God. Like Moses before him, who, after having given the sermons, the final charges to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapters 1 through 33, in chapter 34 goes up and dies on Mount Pisgah. The last thing he did was to turn his back on the people of God and do what God commanded him, to go up and die on Pisgah after having charged them right up to the very last breath. And so Joshua shows himself that kind of faithful here. Here we have Joshua at the end of his life, and what has he done? Has he retreated back into that good land, that good tract of land that God had given him? Has he declined from his public life now to trim his roses? What do we see him doing? We see him in the midst of God's people teaching and instructing and giving his last bit of energy to that next generation. This indeed is what faith is. Because remember how Solomon put it about, 550 years later, maybe 600 years later, when the tree falls, the direction that it points, it's not going to move. That's it. When the tree falls in the forest, it lays where it lays. And so we must finish well. And what does Joshua do here? He shows us how to finish well. So that's the first point. The second point is that he reminds the children of Israel that their work is not finished. Not only is his work not finished, but their work is not finished. He first encourages them by what the Lord has done for them. And in encouraging them concerning what the Lord has already done for them, he causes them to be mindful then of the anticipated success going forward, because they had not yet completed all of the work that God had given them to do in driving out those Canaanite nations before them. And so there's an encouragement there to courage. Be very courageous. As Joshua was instructed by Moses, be very courageous. So also he instructs the people, be very courageous. Notice verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. And I hope we're hearing that same encouragement today. Against lawlessness, against idolatry, against diminishing of the antithesis is what he warns them against. And the command is to cleave unto the Lord. And he reminds them yet again of the mighty acts of the Lord. And then he finishes this first section in verse 10, that the Lord has already secured the victory. Simply, you must walk in it. Notice that the Lord never requires of us to secure the victory, only to walk in the victory that He has won. All right, so then in verses 11 through 13, this is a most interesting passage if we think about it, because it says that if you don't drive these nations out before you, here's what's going to happen. You ready? There'll be thorns in your eyes, sticks in your sides, and then you'll perish. It's not that it'll be fun for a while and then you'll perish. No, there'll be thorns in your eyes, sticks in your sides, and then you'll perish from off the land. The Apostle Paul asks the same question in Romans chapter 6. He says, when you were in bondage to sin, tell me, what fruit did you have of those labors? Because the end of those things is death. We hear about Christianity all the time that it's restrictive of our liberties and the good times that we want to have. You know those Puritans. Remember that old adage about the Puritans? The Puritans were those who searched out everywhere in the world where someone might be having fun. You remember that? Yeah. Of course, that's not the Puritan way at all. The Puritans actually enjoyed life, but they enjoyed it in a godly sense. They enjoyed it in a very wonderful sense. They acknowledged the good gifts of God and the blessedness of walking in His ways. It's not liberty. It's bondage. It's not fun. It's thorns in the eyes, sticks in the sides, and then you die. That's the point that Joshua was making to the people of God here. Well, it may seem attractive. It may seem like freedom, but it's bondage. It may seem like it's a good time, but truly, it's excess and riot and dissipation. And the end is death. So then, do not cleave unto these nations. You are a separated people of the Lord your God. And as it was true in that day, so it is also true in this day. And so why would we desire to be like the nations around us in dress, in the pursuit of riches, in the forms and frequency of entertainment, in intermarrying with them, in devotional expression, and so on, and so on, and so on? Because the consequences are then that they will not be driven out. They will be thorns in our eyes. Snares and traps will they be to us, that they will be injurious to us. And then after all the injury, the final injury is indeed perishing from off the good land, failing of the blessings of God. The final section then, verses 14 through the end of the chapter, verse 16. Behold, Joshua says, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof. Joshua says, let me remind you of one thing before I die. The one thing I want to remind you of before I die is that whatever God spoke to you, He brought it to pass. Nothing. Nothing He's ever said has failed. And nothing He's ever said will fail. If I can leave you with one truth, Joshua says, let it be that one. Believe Him above your eyes. Believe Him above what the world tells you. Believe Him above what your gut tells you. Believe Him, because nothing of what He says ever fails. Ever. All right, thus ends the reading then of Joshua chapter 23. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.